Well, tonight, as part of the In Beginning series, we continue in Genesis chapter 4. We're actually going to finish chapter 4. Tonight, we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 26, which are interesting, thought-provoking verses about the world we live in. So I invite you to open your Bibles to that passage, Genesis chapter 4, and please stand for the reading. Starting with verse 17, and we will read till to the end of the chapter. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that He is speaking to us. This is His word to us. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad fathered Methuselah. Methuselah fathered Methuselah. Methuselah fathered Lamech. And Lamech took two wives. The name of one was Ida, and the name of the other was Zillah. Ida bore Jabel, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, Ida and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, Lamech's is 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called him Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us this record of what happened so long ago in this world, that we might understand our world, that we might understand what's happening in the world around us. We pray, Father, that we also would gladly, sincerely call upon your name. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The beginning of this passage is focused on Cain and his family tree. The end of the passage introduces us to Seth and the beginning of his family tree. And in this passage, we're going to see some interesting details about Cain and his family, and one major difference with Seth, between him and Seth and his family. Seth, you might remember, is the son given to Adam and Eve to replace Abel after Cain killed Abel. Seth would produce a godly family tree. Cain did not. And how this passage shows a contrast between those two family trees is again, interesting and helpful. And the main point of this sermon will be that contrast between these two family trees. So my outline tonight contains two major headings. The first is the city of Cain, and the second is the people of God. And we're going to spend the bulk of our time on the city of Cain, because that's where the bulk of our passage spends its time on, the city of Cain. What we're going to do is list some details we learn about the city of Cain. One detail is simple, but important to spend some time thinking about. The detail is that the city was built by Cain. It was built by Cain. We're told that in verse 17, when he, Cain, built the city. I'm pointing out this detail to emphasize something we learned last week. Namely, the natural reading of the text is that when Cain left, when he left Adam and Eve and went to Nod, he did not find other people there in Nod. Rather, he went there and he himself built a city, and he did so by his family tree. It is Cain that populated the area. He formed a city through his family. We're given a brief family tree of Cain. We're given six generations following Cain. And during those generations, a city could have easily been built by Cain. Whenever we see a family tree in the scriptures, we have to realize that we are not being given all the names of all the children. I believe firmly that all generations are represented in a family tree, so there are no gaps in a family tree, and I'll talk more about that in a later sermon. There are no gaps in a family tree. All the generations are represented, but not all children are listed. For instance, we are only given the names of three of Adam and Eve's children, Cain, Abel, and Seth, but we are clearly told that they had other sons and daughters, and we'll see that again in other genealogies coming up. So right from the very beginning of the Bible, it's apparent we're not going to learn about all of the children or be given the names of all the children, that the Bible would be way too long and confusing if we had all the names of all the children. What is listed is at least one child from each generation. And for Cain, six generations after him are listed. Cain built a city during those six generations of children, and the text most likely means that Cain was alive for those generations, which is very interesting to think about. We have no reason to not conclude that Cain was alive for the six generations, very good reasons to conclude that he was alive for the six generations and hence saw and ruled over the building of the city. Today we're extremely blessed if we get to see a great-great-grandchild. I mean, that's pretty amazing if you get to see a great-great-grandchild. But that would have been nothing for people like Adam, Seth, and Cain. Let me show you a chart concerning Adam first. This chart comes from a ministry called Creation Ministries. For Adam and those listed on the chart, we are given the number of years that they lived in the Bible. For every person there listed on the chart, we are told in the Bible how long they lived. So the chart takes those numbers and shows that because Adam lived so long, he was almost alive to see Noah born. Have you ever thought about that? And Adam was alive long enough to talk to Noah's father, Lamech. Lamech was Adam's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild. And Adam lived for almost 60 years after Lamech was born. Now, that's just crazy to think about, but true. I don't know if Adam had conversations with Lamech, Noah's father, but he could have, because Adam was alive for all those generations. All those generations, think about this, all of those generations had an eyewitness account of the Garden of Eden. Lamech could have sat on the knee of his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild or grandfather and heard about the Garden of Eden firsthand. And Seth, Adam's son, also lived long enough to meet Lamech, the father of Noah, and Seth died just shortly before Noah was born. Now, we're not told how long Cain lived, but he certainly could have lived just as long as his brother Seth, who lived for 912 years. We have no reason to not conclude otherwise. And if Cain did live that long, then he easily was alive to see and to talk to all the generations listed in Genesis chapter 4. Freeze, let's just say that Cain lived to be 900 years old. His brother lived to be 912, so we're being generous here with our calculation. But freeze, let's just say Cain lived 900 years. If each generation was born 100 years after the next, then we can see in this chart Cain would not have died until long after the Lamech and his family tree had children. There were, by the way, two Lamechs, so you can't get those confused tonight. There was a Lamech and Seth's family tree, and there was a Lamech and Cain's family tree. And Cain could have easily lived, we see on this chart, to meet Lamech and his children. We know Seth lived to see the Lamech and his family tree, and there's no reason to conclude otherwise about Cain. This chart is an estimate, I want to make that clear. It's just an estimate. We're not given the amount of years Cain's children lived like we're given for Seth. But this chart is extremely feasible. It makes sense with what we're told. And what the text then is teaching us is that Cain built the city with his descendants. Cain was the patriarch, and he built the city with his descendants. And listen to this. By the time Lamech's children were born, there would have been a lot of descendants of Cain. Let me show you another chart. Let's say that Cain had five children. And that's a very low estimate. Given the fact that he lived a long time and the fact that we know that people were having babies when they were well over 100 years old, it's almost certain that Cain had more than five children. But let's just say he had five kids, all right? If each one of those children had five children, that would have added another 25 people to the city. It's not just 25 total people, it's an additional 25, right? And if each of those kids had five children, and each of the next generations had five children and so on, then by the time you get to Lamech, you have 15,625 people added to the city during that generation. Again, that's not the total population. That's the additional population for the next generation. That's the amount of people for that time that was added to the city. And 15,000 people, well, that's a nice-sized city, isn't it? And we've been very generous with our numbers here. It's likely that they had far more than five children each. Listen to this. If they each had 10 children, right? If we make it 10 instead of five, then the city of Cain would have had over 1 million people by the time you get to Lamech. Over 1 million people. It doesn't take very long to get to a large population. If all the people had 10 children, then the 15,000 figure would be 1 million. So even if some of the children died in childbirth or from accidents, you'd still have a very nice-sized city. Our text tells us Cain built a city. That's one detail. He did it via his family tree. Second, we learn that the city was a city of advancement. It was a city of advancement. Look at the text with me. We're told of tents, livestock, musical instruments, the lyre and the pipe, instruments of bronze and iron, which were probably, you know, made weapons and farming tools and other kinds of tools. Things were developing from generation to generation. As Cain's city was being built, things were advancing. We see that today as well, don't we? From one generation to next, there are advancements in technology and music and other areas of life as well. I was born when there were no cell phones. I remember when my sister, when she was in high school and she got her very first calculator. We'd never seen something like that in our house before, a calculator. Wow, that's really cool. That was amazing. Now, of course, we have smartphones. When some of you farmers were born, you had to use a mallet, right? A mallet to shake your almond tree. And now you have shakers, and some of them even have air conditioning. Well, that's development. That's advancement. And advancement was happening in Cain's city as well. They were intelligent. They were coming up with new ideas. Things were getting more comfortable. Production was going up. They were figuring out ways to keep the growing city organized, healthy, and well. If it was a city of 1 million people, which we've learned it could have been, well, then that took a lot of agriculture to feed. It took a lot of organization. They also had to figure out ways to keep the city protected from other cities that were certainly developing as well. We were just told of one city. Adam and Eve had other children, grandchildren, who most likely went out and started cities of their own. So the cities would have gotten to the point where they were protecting themselves from each other. Just like nations today continue to develop new weapons and feel stronger when they do, with the development of bronze and iron came the development of new weapons, a new sword, a new spear. Cain was building a city. It was a city of advancement. That's the second detail. And closely related is a third observation. It was a city of creativity. A city of creativity. This is obvious because we're told of the development of musical instruments. I don't think we're stretching the text when they say they had their own fine arts. I don't know what kind of music they created, but if they were creating musical instruments, well, then they were also creating some kind of music. And if they were creating music, they were likely playing that music for others, enjoying the music together, dancing, concerts, singing together, jam sessions. All of that is more than feasible. And so we have every reason to picture them enjoying life, enjoying the city. Music and food can easily make the heart glad, right? And they had both. They had the food, they had the music, they had the creativity. And before we move on to the next detail about the city Cain built, let me point out that we're not told anything like this about the descendants of Seth. We're not told that Seth's descendants made tools or instruments or bronze or iron. If you look through the whole genealogy of Seth, you will not find any comments about the development of such things. But interestingly, we're told of the developments of such things by Cain's descendants. That's really interesting. We're told Cain's cities made these advancements, but we're not told that about Seth's. Now, that doesn't mean that Seth's descendants didn't do anything. It doesn't mean that at all. I think we can safely assume that Seth's descendants were building and growing and advancing as well. But the fact that we are told Cain's descendants developed such things suggests that maybe Cain's city was at the forefront. The way everything is written suggests that Cain's descendants were some of the first to do this. I don't think we're stretching the text when we say that Cain's city may have been the trendsetter. It was a city of advancement. It was a city of creativity. It was the city where things were happening. Maybe it was like a New York or a Los Angeles or a Hollywood. It was a trendsetter, probably. Fourth, it was a city named after Cain's son. It was a city named after Cain's son. That's what we're told in verse 17. Cain named his son Enoch and named the city after him. And we have to ask ourselves, now, why are we told that detail? What does that detail mean? Well, we know that Cain rebelled against God. Cain ignored God's word. Instead of repenting, Cain was angry with God. He was bitter. So what did he do? He went out and he built a city named after his son. He went out and he built a city in his own image. Here's what Ken Hughes writes in his commentary. Cain's building a city at the time of Enoch's birth was a defiant, in-your-face violation of God's revealed will for Cain. His city was his statement to God, his family, and his replacement brother Seth, that in his mind, he was the captain of his soul. And the city's name Enoch, which means dedicated, was his attempt to perpetuate the name of his son. The psalmist later wrote of the futility of this. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Cain's city may have been extraordinary for the time period. Cain's city may have been enticing for the time period. It may have been secure for the time period. But it was a city built in rebellion against God. And therefore, that city was a grave. That city was a place of death. Which leads to the fourth point about the city. It was a city of sin and violence. It was a city of sin and violence. We see this in what we're told of Lamech's life. First, we learn Lamech was a polygamist. Lamech took two wives. Lamech would have known well how God created marriage because Adam and Eve were likely still alive and Cain was their son. We know, actually, not likely, we know Adam and Eve were still alive when Lamech was born. So the knowledge of how God created marriage was extremely available. But Lamech became a polygamist. Every time in the Bible when you see polygamy, you eventually see problems. Abraham had problems with Ishmael. Jacob had problems with his children from different wives. So did King David. Polygamy is not God's design. It's sin. Lamech was a polygamist. Cain's city was not following God's design. It was not following the ways of God. And therefore, it was a city of darkness. It was a violent city. The poem recorded of Cain's city is dark and sad. Listen to it again. Lamech said to his wives, Ida and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold and Lamech's is 77-fold. So a young man struck Lamech. And actually, you can translate that word, young man, you can translate it boy. This was a very young man. He struck Lamech. Certainly not a nice thing to do, but it wasn't a serious injury. But in retaliation, Lamech killed him. And then what Lamech is doing here is he's bragging. That's what Lamech is doing in this poem. He's bragging. Bragging about the murder. Lamech is bragging this way. You think Cain is a bad dude? Cain's nothing compared to me. Lamech said, you remember how God said he would have sevenfold vengeance if someone killed Cain? Well, mine's 77-fold. God never said that. This is Lamech talking. He's bragging. I am one mean, bad dude. Don't mess with me. I'm meaner than Cain. Just like some rap songs today will celebrate murder. This song brags of killing. There's no light in this poem. Only despair and violence. Interesting, he uses creativity, poetry, to brag about murder. The city of Cain may have been the glamorous, modern city of the day. May have been the New York, the Hollywood. But it was dark. Cain's city was one that experienced a lot of common grace from God. It's God that gave them intellect and gifts to do what they did. God obviously provided them with rain and sun for their crops and herds. God gave them the means to use bronze and iron. God gave them a lot of blessings to build that city. And don't forget that Cain had the history of how God created everything. Cain knew where it all came from. He knew God existed. But Cain didn't pass that knowledge on. The city Cain built ignored God. It was an oppressive city, but empty of anything lasting. No true joy, just momentary laughter, momentary dancing. And today we see the same in cities throughout the world. Common grace all over this world. The meals and music enjoyed in cities throughout the world, they would not exist if God did not graciously provide such things. God is the giver of all good gifts. It's common grace, but God is ignored. And people live and die and are forgotten. Cities come and cities go. That is the world without God, dear friends. Depressing, meaningless, hopeless. The cities are graves. They're places of death. Now, in comparison, we're going to turn our attention for just a moment to the people of God, the family tree of Seth. What we're told about Seth is simply one wonderful truth, that as soon as he started having children, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Let me tell you first what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that suddenly people realized for the first time that God existed. It doesn't mean that there were no conversations with God before this. We know it doesn't mean that because God spoke to Cain and Abel, and Cain and Abel brought sacrifices to God. So it doesn't mean that suddenly people now know God exists. What it does mean is that suddenly there was revival. The word translated call upon can refer to prayer and worship and proclamation of God's name. The family tree of Seth started to recognize the giver of all good gifts and started to worship the giver of all good gifts. They started to worship and honor the one true living God. They knew what was truly important, that God is what is important. And it is into that family that Noah was born. The city of Cain may have been a glorious modern city, but the line of Seth was the line of hope, the line of redemption. It wasn't that long after Lamech's children were born that Noah was born. So the wrath of God wasn't that far off. Whatever joy was experienced in Cain's city was short-lived. The flood was coming. And in comparison, the people of God had the truth. The people of God had hope. The people of God had true reasons to sing and celebrate, to worship. That contrast continues today in the world. There are many, many cities of darkness. We, the people of God, know the truth. We've seen the light. We call upon the Lord. We worship Him with true hope. And thanks be to God, by His grace, today, by His grace, we can bring that hope into the dark cities of this world. Let's constantly do that. It's our privilege to do that, to call upon the name of the Lord. Just bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we continue to thank you for giving us this revelation. Pray that we would not only think about it, but respond rightly, to recognize that we too need to call upon you, that you are the one to be worshiped. You are the one in which we should find our hope, our joy, our comfort, our security. Our security is not in bronze and iron and weapons and such things. Our joy is not merely in music. Our health is not merely in the food of the ground. No, our health, our joy, our singing, our security, it's all in you. And so we call upon you. We do call upon you. Come and continue to teach us and lead us and guide us and help us to be the light that we can be. As we hear about India tonight and we hear about the darkness there, help us to recognize how the light can shine there as well. When people call upon you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.